Tomorrow night, the Democratic Party holds its third presidential debate of this campaign. And for a preview, let's bring in Angela Rye, here and now political analyst and a Democratic strategist. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with Hillary Clinton, the front runner. What does she have to do in this debate?
I don't think much, Jeremy. as we all know, I think since 2000, there have been over 100 debates now. And this Saturday will make it the ninth debate they've ever had on a Saturday. We shouldn't expect a whole lot of viewers. And I think that with Hillary Clinton, well over 50% of support from Democrats, she just doesn't have to do much but hold the line.
Why do they keep putting the debates on Saturday nights?
You know, that's a good question. There are rumors that say, Hillary Clinton is front runner. The party didn't want to disrupt that lead. And so they put it on days where people would not watch. For me, that's really hard to understand because I think that Hillary Clinton is a great debater. We've seen that. So that is a hard one for me to understand. I can say that in 2008, we know that from the number of debates they had, there were numerous, that her frontrunner status was disrupted. And so perhaps there was fear there. But I just don't think it behooves anyone. It's not in anyone's best interest because we're in a day and age now, Jeremy, as you know, where people tweet about it.
Yeah.
They're talking about it on Periscope. So it's not like this content is hidden forever. I have no idea why the party would think to keep it out of the homes of people who need to understand the candidates and their platforms.
Well, let's talk about Bernie Sanders, who says he has never run a negative TV ad in his life, but retracted an ad criticizing Clinton for her ties to Wall Street big money donors. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to what he told ABC about his decision to pull that ad.
There are gray areas. We felt that it was a gray area. We took the ad down. We are running a positive campaign. Now, you ask any other candidate out there if they've ever run negative television ads, not one of them will say they haven't. I have not. Thank you.
What is likely to be Bernie Sanders' strategy in the debate tomorrow night?
You know, this is really interesting to me, Jeremy. I know last time folks thought that he would go hard at Hillary Clinton. He doesn't have anything to lose with 32%, I think, is the latest national poll. It's time for Bernie Sanders to figure out how he's going to differentiate himself. And he's not going to be able to fall back on his same two answers, that he doesn't have a super PAC, unlike the other candidates on the stage, and that he wants to take down Wall Street. More recently, he had a campaign event where a communication spokesperson said he didn't want any questions dealing with ISIL or Homeland Security. And he doesn't have that type of latitude. If he wants to be commander in chief, Bernie Sanders is going to have to demonstrate that he's comfortable not only addressing all issues, but engaging.
But he is connecting with a big part of the Democratic base. Is it possible that Bernie Sanders, it's actually looking sort of likely that he will win in New Hampshire. He is, of course, from the neighboring state. But is it possible that he picks up Iowa and New Hampshire? And then Hillary Clinton really does have a challenger on her hands.
Well, what I will tell you, Jeremy, is early on, I said that there was no way that Donald Trump would go this far, and I ended up being dead wrong. So what I'll say to you now is that certainly anything is possible. I don't think that's likely. I think to your point, right, he is from the neighboring state. So New Hampshire is, and I've said this for a long time, is a state that he better win. I'm not sure about Iowa. I think it's something that we have to keep following closely. But I'm willing to bet you, based on the content of this debate and the fact that national security is becoming increasingly more important given the threat of attacks, what we saw this week with two school districts getting fake emails, but they were threats that the school districts took seriously. I think that he's going to have to be comfortable addressing those issues, and I haven't seen him do well in that space.
And what about the third candidate, Martin O'Malley? He is just not getting a lot of traction with this campaign so far.
He's not. I know I talked about this last time when we went over debates, but what has surprised me most is the fact that Martin O'Malley has come across as perhaps the most inauthentic candidate. And that struck me because I've been in audiences with him where that's not his normal MO. He normally comes across as very, very authentic. Him relying on what he's done in Maryland can't be gaining any traction because he's only got 4% support from Marylanders who are Democrats.
Well, how long does he stay in the race then?
I don't know. It depends on how much longer he can fund the race. If I were Martin O'Malley, I would try to get out and try to see if there's a space for him as a VP candidate.
Who is the Republican that you think at this point in the race would be toughest for a Democrat to beat, and who would be easiest? Who's your dream candidate on the other side?
So I think Donald Trump would be the easiest. I think Marco Rubio, I think, will be toughest to beat, and here's why. Out of all of the candidates on the Republican stage, he was the only one that had an answer that I thought was palatable for a general election on immigration reform. He gave himself a lot of wiggle room. It is a good thing that he knows that border security needs to be balanced with the pathway to citizenship. It's a bad thing if he can't figure out a way to talk to both sides on that issue.
Angela Rye, a Here and Now political analyst and a Democratic Party strategist, getting us ready for tomorrow night's Democratic debate. And Angela, we'll check back in with you on Monday. Thanks so much.
Can't wait.